Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, and for Him to bring us greater understanding as we read and study each verse, Father, so that we can grow in knowledge, in wisdom, to be able to help others that are walking in darkness, Father. Help them to come to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we'll be able to help those, Father, that belong to Jesus, to grow stronger so that they, Father, can do more and greater things for you than they are doing at the present time. We pray, Father, for ourselves to be able to grow in strength and in all of your ways, not ours. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've got the book of Hebrews and a little bit about it before we actually get into the study of it. As I told you this morning, this is something that is interesting and something that is nice and good for you and I to know. Now, you know the book of Hebrews, the authorship of it is not one known. for some reason, and a mystery to us, as the authorship of Hebrews is unknown. Now, the strongest argument for Pauline's authorship, or Paul's authorship, of this epistle involves the ancient tradition of the church as early as the second century. Paul was regarded as in the East as the author, and during the third century, his authorship was accepted, and in the West, where the epistle was known from earliest times, Paul's authorship was rejected and did not gain general acceptance until the fourth century. Yet the strongest argument actually against Paul's authorship is found within the epistle itself. In chapter 2 and verse 3, the author regards himself as one whose knowledge of Christ was secondhand. By contrast, Paul has declared in other places, as we've studied, that his apostleship and message were directly from Jesus Christ. Now, and the reason that a lot would like to know is because there is so many that mankind has had looked at through time and said that other worthy suggestions for the author included Luke, Barnabas, Silas, Apollos. The arguments that speak against Paul's authorship speak for Lucan as being the author. His secondhand knowledge of Jesus and even the witness of ancient church tradition through such scholars as Calvin and Delisca, Lucan's authority, as being the authority, author of this book. Now, you know, throughout the epistle, or this letter of Hebrews, the author stresses the continuity and flow between the Old Testament revelation and the new faith in Christ, while emphasizing the superiority of both Christ and his new covenant, using such words as better and perfect and heavenly. And by so doing, he assures the Jewish Christians of the biblical heritage contained in the new covenant. And Hebrews contains 29 direct quotations from and 53 clear allusions to the Old Testament. And he challenges them to run with endurance the race that is set before them, even as their Jewish ancestors had done. The style of the epistle is one of encouragement comfort, and warning. The book leads one from superficial thinking to profound depth concerning the person and work of Christ. Its argument is the superiority and finality of Christianity. Its theme is the highest high priestly ministry of Christ in behalf of believers. You know, I told you this morning that Hebrews is one of my favorite books because it contains so much. Now, in starting out, it don't start out as strong as it gets as we get further into it. The further into it we get, the stronger it gets. And one of the hardest chapters in the Bible to preach and teach, we'll be a few days getting there, because that's chapter 10. Remember that. All right, now, as we get started here in the scripture, with chapter 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. But you see, these first two verses here, he's showing the author, whoever he is showing us that Jesus Christ has the agent of God's revelation and is far superior to the Old Testament prophets. And we know that because as we have come this far through the New Testament, other, and especially Paul in his writing, also has done the same thing, letting us know that there is no other name above the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that as we study this work. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now you know, as we look at verse 3, we know that Christ, his person, power, and position are all expressed in actually this verse, in verse 3 there. Now, and as the agent of God's revelation placed him far superior to the Old Testament prophets. Because you see, for one, their message was actually fragmentary and incomplete because they didn't have what the Lord Jesus Christ had. They didn't have that infilling of the Holy Spirit that Christ did. They didn't have that constant contact that was needed in order to be able to complete things. And a lot of the things that came to them bit by bit. Now, it would come to them through visions, dreams, and events, and sometimes direct communication, as men were ready and able to receive it. But Christ's revelation is climatic and complete. You see, because he is the Son, and because his is the message for the last days. You see, there's that difference in time dispensation and how God has dealt with mankind. In the beginning, I want to share something here with you. In the beginning, God dealt with mankind as only God the Father. And then he started dealing with Moses the same way, giving Moses the law for man to live by. Then he sent his Son, Jesus. He began to deal with us then as the Son, preparing you and I for what was coming, which actually is the day and age in which we are now living, which is the church age that began on the day Pentecost, when he then started dealing with you and I, not only through the Lord Jesus Christ, but also by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, it is that Holy Spirit that brings you and I the gifts of God, his power, and is there to help us to receive the knowledge, the wisdom that we need in order to walk in righteousness here on this earth, and to be able to do whatever God will call upon us to do. Because you see, God now is working through mankind to complete his work on this earth, which will come to a close when the Lord comes for his church, as we call it, the rapture. Scripture called it catching away. But you see, that will bring, when he takes the church out of this world, then the church age is finished. Then you have those short years of tribulation, the most terrible time that had ever been on earth or ever would be. And at the end of that, the Lord and all those that have made it to be with him will return back to earth to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. But there'll also be that great war, the Battle of Armageddon, terrible battle. But we know who's going to come out ahead there also. But it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. Now, as we go here to verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, we just talked about that. And there it is. Right there in God's word. So you'll know that I wasn't giving you something that was not the word of God. Now 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. No, he had not told none of the angels that. Only his son he sent, born as a babe, that lived and walked on this earth 33.5 years, growing and having his ministry, preparing the people of that day and time to be ready for what was about to come. And what was about to come was his death, his resurrection, and the setting up of the church age. And he was getting people ready for that. Because without that, there would have been no one accepting. It was bad enough as it was. These are things that God knows. We don't, but he did. But his son, his name is above every name. In the earth, in heaven, and under the earth. We found that in another place. Now verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. When Jesus was born, the angels were all told to worship him. 7. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. What kind of ministers do we have today? Are they really a flame of fire? Are they really giving you the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word? And are they living so they can be an example that you can follow to make heaven your home? No, not many. Because they have accepted everything that this world wanted to give them in order to hold them away from the truth of God's word and our Heavenly Father. Now, 8. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Think about this. Think about that 10th verse. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are in the works of thy hands. We know that without him, we have been told that over and over and over, that without him nothing was created that was created. It's being told to us over and over, all the way through the church age, this New Testament, that you and I are to live by. Now, 11. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. They shall wax old as does a garment. Think about that. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. We've been told in other places that this world is going to pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Only the Lord God can do things like that. Where do you want to be when that all takes place? I don't want to be with Satan and his bunch. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and those that belong to the family of Almighty God. Now, 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? We know he didn't tell no angels that. The only one he told that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied about that. Now, 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And you see, when you become that born-again child of God, that's exactly what you are. You are an heir of salvation, because you become an heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what being a child of God really means for you. It's really hard to even imagine what it will be like when that time comes. I know it'd be hard for me. I don't know about you, but it sure be hard for me. And I do know one other thing. I know I want to be with him. I don't want to be with Satan and his bunch of little demons and be cast into hell and end up with hell, Satan, and his bunch and all that is missed, making heaven their home, to be in that lake of fire. No, that's not what I want at all. But we need to be in the Word of God, bringing the Word of God into our lives, living it to where we can be, and even our lives as an example for others to watch and be able to make heaven their home. Think about that. And I'll tell you something else. The moment someone finds out that you are a child of God, or that you claim to be a child of God, they're going to watch every move you make. They're going to listen to everything you say, because they're wanting to see you stumble, so they can throw that at you. That's why we all need that baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God in us, to keep that from happening. And you see, it will keep it from happening. Because when you become that born-again child of the living God, we are told then that those things cannot happen to you and I. Once you are born again, the Holy Spirit, the seed of God, is in you. And those things cannot come against you, and neither can you sin, because you're born of God. And you'll find that back in 1 John chapter 3 that I had read to you so many times. And I'm going to read it to you once more, because we may have some new ones listening to us that hasn't heard it. And in 1 John chapter 3, starting here with verse 9, he said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. Think about that. You have been made manifest. He's told you plain. But today, you can't get people to understand that. They don't want to accept the word of God as truth. And all that don't, you'll wind up with a seat in hell and that lake of fire. Because there's only one way out of it. And that's to come out of your darkness. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Let him know, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive my sins. Save me. I need you in my life. Come into my life, Jesus. And help me to make heaven my home. And he will forgive you. His word says so. So he will forgive you. Then you're to be baptized in his name. No other way. His name. Because you see, we are living in the church age, and everything has to go through him. It can't go around him, over him, or under him. It goes through him. And just as Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells us to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name. So you're putting on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. To be filled with him. To give you the guidance, the understanding, and all of the tools you need to make it through this life here on earth. To make heaven your home. And you that are listening, if you will just go to him and do exactly what I just told you to do, can have salvation. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Forgive my sins. Each and every one of them. And Lord, I need you come into my life. Make me into a child of God. He'll do what he said he would do. He'll forgive you. Then finish the work. Be baptized in his name. Put on his burial, his death, his resurrection. And then you walk in newness of life. And then you come to the point. There's a point. It may happen all at the same time, but it's not likely. I've only seen that happen one time in 56 years of ministry. This one got it all at the same time. Because for the most part, they don't know about all of it. They don't know about the Holy Spirit because it hasn't been taught to them. Because we have too many churches out here today that don't deal with the Holy Spirit because they don't really believe in him and they don't want him mentioned. All right. We're going to stop here for this evening. And God willing, we can pick up with chapter 2 come morning. I'm not sure what God's got in store for us for morning, but I pray that we'll all be back together again come 10 o'clock Sunday morning and back into the Word of God. Whatever God's got in store for us, it'll be in and according to his word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we're closing your word now. We're thanking you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for peace to them, Father. And we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, along with other nations that are walking against God, against you, Lord, against your way, against your word, rejecting everything. We pray for them also, Father, that thy spirit can work among them and that they can hear your word, Father, and turn from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, as we separate for this evening and to make it through the night, keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe and bring us back together again in the morning, Father. For my wife, Father, touch her in mighty and great ways. Restore that which she has lost, Father. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, those that are of this ministry, their families, my family, we all have family members, Father, that are not saved. We're out walking in darkness, doing the things of this world. I pray, Father, that the Spirit can work with each and every one of them. and help us to get them out of that darkness and into the Lord Jesus Christ and His love. Guide us now, Father, until we come together again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Walk with God and He'll walk with you. Good evening, everyone.